So today we're going to talk about, well, we've been doing this series From Dream to Destiny. And if you guys haven't downloaded the audio or if you missed a week, you can get on the website, intercourt.com, and you can download that stuff, which is pretty cool. So there are 10 tests. Basically, God wants us to he wants us to get to our destiny. He wants to fulfill our destiny. And how I kind of think of it is a destiny, it's like a destination. It's a place you could go to, but you don't have to go there. So destiny is kind of a nebulous term. People are like, destiny, you know, we're born for such a time as this, blah, 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 roddy, roddy, roddy. You know, it's just like, that's awesome. And it's true, and we believe it. But if you don't, you know, get off your butt and do something, you're not going to get to your destiny. And that's really true. So a destination, like my house is a destination, you know, or Invesco Field is a destination. You know, the top of Long's Peak is a destination. You can get there, and guess what it takes to get there? You got to get in a car, or you got to start walking or something, and you can get there. And so God has a destiny. He wants to position us. Joseph had a destiny. God's like, I want you to be in charge of Egypt because there's going to be a seven-year famine. So I have to have a faithful man who's in charge of all of Egypt so that we can save the world from starving. Because God is a good God. He doesn't want people to die. He wants us to know about Jesus. So that's a destiny. And God had to position him. It was cool. There's a verse, I think it's in Genesis 50 somewhere. It says, Joseph said, God has made me as a father to Pharaoh. Which is very interesting because it's like, how old was Pharaoh for one? But Joseph was a young guy. But Joseph was ready to have authority and to say, this is what you do. Joseph started giving him advice after he interpreted the dream. He's like, this means this. And guess what? You should do what man starts giving advice to a king? A man of God who has just interpreted your dream. He's like, this is what you should do. So we're talking about from dream to destiny. We got 10 tests that we have to fulfill and pass in order to reach our destiny. And God is gracious. And I believe the Lord will give you time. The Lord will give you redo. You know, if he writes redo on your test, great. However, I think there's also a fearful thing is we can't harden our hearts. Because at some point, we fail. And if we fail, like you are done, you know, and we can disqualify ourselves too from our destiny. And let's not do that. Let's not do that. That's really important we don't do that. So let's pray real quick. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for teaching us through your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd empower me to speak what I need to say, that you give me utterance, Lord, to say what needs to be said today in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is the pardon test. Last week was the prosperity test. We were talking about money. And that's a fun topic. It's good. It's important. And we all have to pass it on some level because everybody has to deal with money at some point in their life. And it's important. The bottom line is we got to have our heart on the Lord. God wants us to be prosperous. But we can't be seeking after riches. We can't be seeking after wealth. And if it's like we can't desire riches. Because that's we're putting our heart in the wrong place. But prosperity is a thing that God's given us to desire, and that's a good desire. But once we start saying, I have to have X amount of dollars, I have to be rich, like that's not good. And the word says, and I talked about it last week, that basically if you do that, you're setting yourself up to fall. You're setting yourself up because you're putting your heart on the wrong thing. And the word says that God is our gold and our precious silver in Job. And that's what it should be. And if you think about it, if we have God, what else do we need? The guy who can produce and create anything at any moment. Jesus is like, oh, you need some taxes. You need to pay your health care insurance that you didn't have to do before. And now it's more expensive. And now you got to, because thank you, President. Like, Jesus said, Peter, go fishing and pull out a piece of gold or whatever it was. It was a coin. And that's going to pay for you. Jesus is like, hey, you know what? You don't need to be rich if you could provide it for. No, that's right. You know what I'm saying? If God can provide for you, you know? So, but God has put a desire in our hearts to be prosperous. Crazy prosperous, I will say. But let's not put our desire on the riches. And let's put our heart on the Lord. And let's be faithful in little things so that we can be faithful in much. All right. So let's continue to the next test. which is the pardon test. I have like 3 pages of notes, and there's no way I'm going to do it in 25 minutes. But this is a really good test, the pardon test, and it's challenging. So, as I just said, we have to be faithful. We have to be faithful in little things. And Mom was saying earlier, we have to be faithful to pass the test that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention at the time. Sometimes you get it all, you're like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, and then I'll be saved. Wait a minute, that's not what we believe. It's by grace we're saved, right? And so we don't have to keep all these rules. And it kind of gets confusing sometimes. So what we do is we have to walk in the light that God gives us. If the Holy Spirit says, you are prideful, you need to humble yourself, then guess what? That's what you see at this moment. And the word says that in your light, we see light. So if we see the light, if we got to go towards the light. It's like you're walking around in the dark, right, with a flashlight, okay? And you see the next step, but you don't see down the road. You could turn around and look into the darkness and say, oh, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Well, put your light and take a step. And then you'll see the next obstacle, the next thing, the next. And then, so that's what the Christian life is taking the next step. And that's what a step of faith is just taking the step. You don't have to see step two. You just have to see step one and then do it. That's it. That's it. And that's really encouraging for me. Take a step of faith, which is I don't have any understanding of how I'm going to do this. No idea. I don't have the money. I don't know how to do it. Just take the first step. That's it. And God will give you step two, step three, step four, and then you'll get there. Okay, to your destination. So we got to be doers of the word. If the Holy Spirit says you're prideful or you got to pardon somebody, do it. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself into thinking that you're an obedient Christian and you're not. And that's tough because it says that we deceive ourselves. It's not the devil. You can't rebuke the devil for you yourself deceiving yourself. You know, so let's not deceive ourselves. That's bad. So let's talk real quick about the pardon test. What happened to Joseph? Most of us know the story. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Okay, they threw him a pit, and then he was taken to Egypt, sold as a slave. He was faithful, and he was promoted, and then he was thrown in jail, and he was faithful. He was faithful, and then they forgot about him, and then they remembered him, and then he was promoted to pretty much the viceroy, or whatever you want to call him, the guy in charge of Egypt. And it says the father of the Pharaoh. That's a big, big shot, okay? So that's what happened. So Joseph could have been bitter. He could have stayed bitter and just angry. He could have just been angry. It's like, oh, you know. And we know that if you're bitter, it really is not good for you. Because it's if you're angry at somebody, only you are harmed. And the Bible has taught us that, you know what, it's not good to be angry. You know, we got to forgive. We're starting to realize in like medical science, and I'm not an expert that, like diseases are caused by unforgiveness, anger. Like you can actually hurt yourself physically. So that's why we got to forgive. And God knows these things. That's why he tells us to do that. Okay, so that's just a brief overview of the Joseph story. So let's go to Matthew 18. And this is really a key parable that I want to talk about. Matthew 18, verses 21. All right. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him, up to 7 times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That's a lot of times. Okay, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is a little bit, not much at all. So it's like $100 and, you know, this guy, you know, it's $10,000, $100. I think it was more than that because talents are a lot. So he was like a prince and he's managing probably millions of dollars. And then he's like, you owe me $100. Like, give me my $100. I want him, you know. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all of the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that he was due him. And Jesus says, Jesus is talking, by the way, he said, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. That's the bottom line of the pardon test. God can't forgive you if you don't forgive other people. And that's pretty, I mean, that's like Jesus said it. And that's, it is scary. So we have to forgive. If we don't forgive, then we're going to be delivered to the tortures, whether it's diseases or problems in your own life. There's a verse I was going to reference, and it said in Titus, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. So what happens if you don't forgive somebody? You're always thinking that they're wrong. Like they're thinking something wrong about me. Like it twists your thinking. It twists your perception of life. The person is just walking in, and they say, how you doing? And you take it as, whoa, I'm not a jerk. You kidding? You know? You don't like my hair. What's the problem? You know? And so it's like, if you forgive, then there's purity, and you don't assume stuff. That's not the case at all. It's real important. So there's the danger of unforgiveness. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So God's not going to hear us if we hold iniquity in our heart, if we're walking in sin. So we can't afford to be in unforgiveness. And maybe you ask yourself, if the Lord's not answering my prayers, maybe I'm not forgiving like I should be. Maybe I'm holding something against someone. We can't afford to be in unforgiveness. And you know what's in the Lord's Prayer? Matthew 6:12 says, Jesus said, you know, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As means like. It's like how. How do you forgive your debtors? So do you want to be forgiven like you are forgiving right now? Like, we want to receive forgiveness. Like, if we mess up, we want people to say, it's okay, no problem. You know, no big deal. We want them to forgive us. But if somebody does something little to us, we're just like, no, no way. You don't get forgiven because you're a jerk. You know, like, but it's the principle of giving and receiving. We got to forgive. Be generous with your forgiveness. And that's, we always have to believe the best about people. And just say, oh, the person's having a bad day. Like, they haven't eaten yet. They haven't got their coffee. Whatever. Just believe the best about them. And then don't tell people what they just did. That's the difference between Christians and people in the world. You know, I'm sure many of you know it. Don't be the person who facilitates gossip in the workplace, in the break room. I saw a tweet or Instagram, and it was so great. It was, Brian Houston actually tweeted. He said, don't tell me what they said about me. Tell me why they were so comfortable to say it around you. Whoa. Like, that's the difference. Yeah. Why didn't you stand up for Matthew when somebody started saying, oh, Matthew's hair was dumb, you know, or whatever. You know, what was it? Like, stand up for your brothers and sisters. Stand up for your pastors. You know? Say, no, I don't want to hear it. If you want to gossip, go somewhere else. And that's so important. We're brothers and sisters. You know, we're in Christ. We got to guard the anointing. Guard our conversation. You know, and if I told my friends, and, you know, if you have problems with me, like, I want to tell me about it. You know what? I don't want to insult you through another person. Like, I don't want to offend you through someone else. Talk to me. And then we'll hash it out, okay? And that's what we do. And the Bible says you got to take the brother aside who is sinning or whatever, and you got to work it between you two. And it's guarding the integrity of people. Guarding the integrity. Okay. So That's forgiveness. We've got to walk in forgiveness. Mark 11:24-26, it says, you know, whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive, you shall have it. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. We've got to forgive. Because God won't forgive you. Now, that's scary. It's like, whoa. God's not going to forgive me if I don't forgive. That's crazy, but it's true. So we got to forgive one another. I got so many verses, so little time. We have to walk in love. That's really the key of forgiveness, is we have to walk in love. So let's turn to 1 John. It's the love walk. You know, Dad has taught us that there's this, the concept is the opposite spirit. You have to operate in the opposite spirit, and that really is walking in love. Is you don't reciprocate what people are dishing. You know, and that's what Jesus said, turn the cheek. Now, there's times we got to stand up for ourselves. You know, we're Christians, we're not a doormat. You know, and I think we can have that kind of mentality as Christians that we have to turn the cheek all the time. It's like, well, the founding fathers didn't, and they were Christian. You know? And for the NSA, no, I am not a rebel, okay? Okay, so what I'm saying is we don't. We have to just, you know, we gotta walk in love. And it's the opposite spirit. If somebody is insulting, if somebody's rude, you just love them. And Jesus said we gotta heap burning coals on them. And it's so easy to operate in the opposite, or not operate in the opposite spirit, just tit for tat, you know. Yeah. If you do this, I'm going to do something mean to you because you deserve it. And it's probably true. But the opposite spirit, right? And the Lord said, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is the Lord's. It's not ours. And that's what Joseph did. He didn't try to get back at his brothers. He said, Lord, I trust you. And you know, if you aren't trusting the Lord, then you're not going to get the Lord to do vengeance. He's not going to do it. So it's like, don't do tit for tat. Don't get back at people. But if you don't get back at people, don't be lazy about it. Trust the Lord. I said, Lord, this isn't right. Do something. You know? So that's where we apply the word with faith, okay? So, okay, we're talking about love. 1 John 4:8. And I'll just read here. It says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And then in 16 it says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So God is love. And in order to forgive, we have to walk in love. Let's read real quick. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4 says, love suffers long. So we're talking about what does love look like? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And one of the translations, actually multiple translations in verse 5 says, where it says, thinks no evil. It says, keeps no record of wrong, is not resentful. So if you're resenting someone, if you're keeping a record of wrongs, so this is why this person, this is why I can't forgive this person. That's not good. That's not what love does. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. So that's what God is. Okay, so let's go to Romans 5:5 real quick. Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how God forgives. Is he forgives even when people don't repent. They don't, you know, if you read the story of Joseph, like the brothers, they never really say sorry. They never really say, we were wrong. I mean, there's even a case in chapter 50 that you could say they were trying to manipulate Joseph by saying, guess what Dad said? Dad said, he just died, by the way. Dad said, you need to forgive us. Like, don't kill us. Because, so they didn't really receive his forgiveness. They didn't believe that he was really, you know, Joseph was like, God did this. Look at all this blessing. God did this. Joseph's heart was right. And that's what I said to the pure, everything's pure. They didn't have purity because they're just like, Joseph still wants to kill us. He's going to kill us. He's going to kill us. It's like, Dad, please don't die. Joseph's going to kill us. And so then they come and they say, guess what Dad said? Dad said, you know. So that's how God forgives us, even when people don't ask for forgiveness. And so we have to forgive people regardless of whether or not they ever come to us and say, hey, forgive us. We were wrong. God, it's unconditional love. Unconditional. So while we were still sinners, God said, I'm going to send Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Even if you never receive me, I'm going to forgive you. So that's really, every sinner in this world is just that close. Their sins are forgiven, but they have to believe on Jesus in order to come into the covenant, come into the forgiveness. The forgiveness is available to people. All right? So, and the word agape is the word for love, which talks about, no matter what you do, that's what it is. You're always seeking the highest good of another person, no matter what the person does. It's a self-giving love, and that's what God is. So let's go to another key verse, is Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 43, 48. And this is the difference. I mean, this is one of the natural proofs we could say that Christianity is truth. It's different. It's the opposite spirit. That's not how the world operates. And Jesus said, what did he say? Let's read it in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And then in verse 48, it says, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So Jesus, he said, we've got to love our enemies. And that's the ultimate expression of love, is loving someone when you're being, you know, executed on the cross. And we have to love our enemies. And that gives people an opportunity to receive Jesus, because we got to impart that grace and forgive. And, you know, if you're thinking, man, I can't, how am I supposed to do that? Like, I can't do it. Jesus said, you can be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, the Word says that we're a new creation. So you might be thinking, I can't love. How can I forgive? I can't do that. Well, Jesus said, you know, he said, be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. And the Word says that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Word says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So we have the love of God. It's a matter of choice. It's like worship. We can sit there and not worship, or we can open our mouth and start to praise and then receive the grace to praise. Same thing with forgiveness. So love is unstoppable. In 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says love never fails. And so I think there's a strong case to present that Joseph was walking in love. If you read chapter 39, it says like 4, 5, 6 times, God was with Joseph, and everything he did prospered. Everything he set his hand to prospered. God was with Joseph. And it just says it so many times. Like, God's not going to prosper you like that, everything you do is not going to prosper unless you're walking in love, because love never fails. So if you're walking in love, perfect love casts out fear. And so that's what love does. Joseph was walking in love. Joseph was in a relationship with the Lord. And he continued. Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. The Lord really blessed him. So Joseph forgave his brothers. Genesis 50, let's go there real quick. Genesis 50, verse 15 says, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did him. So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive. Oh, that's one thing Robert Morris was saying. He says, they kind of deflected it from us. They would say, forgive us. They said, Dad said, forgive them, you know, kind of thing. So, but Joseph was like, let's see. He says, then in verse 18, then his brothers also went and fell down before his face. But it says before that Joseph wept when they spoke that to him. Because Joseph, for him, it was a done deal. He moved on. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for me, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. So Joseph said, well, I'm not in the place of God. So basically, if you start to judge other people, you're trying to do God's job. It's not your job. It's God who justifies. It's not you. Our job is to walk in love and forgive and let God sort out the details. So there were three points that Robert Morris said, the keys to forgiveness. Release, receive, and believe. We have to release. We have to release other people. And we have to walk in the true forgiveness the way that God forgives. It's just no stipulations, nothing. We just say, we forgive you. I don't care what you did. I don't care if you're still unapologetic, whatever. I forgive you. I choose to forgive. Even if you don't repent, I am not in God's place. I am not God. God's working something, and I believe it, and I forgive. You know, David said, against you and you alone I have sinned. He just murdered a man. He committed adultery, okay? But he said, against you and you alone I've sinned. God's the judge. And then 1 John 1:9 says, he is faithful and just. Who's faithful and just? God is, not you. You're not the faithful judge to forgive. God is. So we must forgive. So there's two points in the release section. Is you have to release God to be the judge. And you have to also release yourself from torment. So if you don't release somebody, so really three, you got to release the person. You got to release God to do his job, which is God is God. He's the judge. And then you're releasing yourself from torment, from all the problems that come with unforgiveness. I like Robert Morris. He said, you don't have to forgive people for being right. Like, when was the last time you had to forgive somebody for making cookies for you? You just don't have to, unless they're really bad cookies. But you have to, you know, so usually the people, I mean, there is a problem. That's why it happened. That's why you're in unforgiveness. Because there was a problem, and you might be right. But it's not our job to be right. It's our job to walk in forgiveness and love. So Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the whole command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't try to take out vengeance on people, because it's God's job. Okay, and Romans 12:19-21 says that too. Vengeance is mine, I will pray, says the Lord. So we have to release God, release the situation to God, go on with your life and let God vindicate you. That's what Joseph did. And it's not easy, believe me, it's not easy. So the second point is you have to receive. You have to receive. It's The word says, freely you have received, freely give. We have to freely give to people. Freely give forgiveness. And we also have to receive forgiveness from God. Robert Moses talked about the hit me mentality. You know, we're just like, oh, I just stepped on your toe. So sorry. Hit me. I feel bad. You know? Like, I don't know if you ever had that experience when you're, you know, in a kid and you accidentally hurt another kid and you're like, oh, no, don't tell your dad, you know, kind of thing. You know? And it's like, I got to, you know, hit me or something. You know, it just makes me feel better. And so Christians, I think we feel that way too. We're like, it's not good enough. Like, I sinned. I got to do something to please God. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to do something. But that's not how it works. God gives us, we receive. That's it. It's not about getting to heaven by good works. So we have to receive from the Lord before we can give. You know, the word says that it pleased God to bruise Jesus. Jesus, he was the one who received our sins on him. And then it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So if we receive Jesus, we have the right to be children of God. We receive that right. And then the third point is believe. Our sins have been laid on the Lord. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquity. So we have been completely pardoned. Now, if we're completely pardoned, why are we trying to keep other people from being pardoned? So we have to pardon others. And how do we do that? We have to believe. Habakkuk 2:4 says, but the just shall live by faith. So we have to believe it. There's at some point in your life where you have to say, that's how I got saved. I was just like, you know what? I just believe this, okay? Like, I don't have to come up here 7,000 times and Jesus, like, I receive you into my heart. Like, you have to believe it at some point. Same thing with forgiveness. At some point, you just have to believe it. And that's faith. So the just shall live by his faith. Praise the Lord. And of course, we have to receive Jesus as well. If you haven't, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So first thing, we have to receive his forgiveness. We have to believe. So let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you right now for your forgiveness. We receive your forgiveness. And Lord, we're not going to hold grudges towards people. We're not going to walk in unforgiveness, Lord, because we can't. We can't afford to walk in unforgiveness. So ushers, if you begin to pass communion right now, if we just need to receive communion and just, if there's something in your heart that's not right, just get right with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And just ask him what he wants you to do. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hey, David, did you stop the tape yet? Good. Don't. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's important for the people who listen, you know, on the internet, that they have an opportunity to receive the prayer as well. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that all we have to do is just receive it. And Lord, help us stop striving to please you, Lord, and striving to always get stuff and to get to heaven by our own works. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters right now, Lord, that if any of us are struggling with unforgiveness, whether it's a recent thing or something in the far past, Lord, I pray that we would be able to release and pardon the people who have hurt us. Thank you for doing that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Has everyone received? Have everyone... Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just come before you and we just receive. We receive your forgiveness. and we will forgive others. And we thank you that we can receive this bread in the name of Jesus. May receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blood that cleanses us of sin. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I have good news. If you have received in faith, your sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord. Well, if we would all stand. Praise the Lord. I encourage you guys, don't forget about the lifestyle of invitation and Celtic Christianity. And that pretty much means, well, I just encourage you guys as we leave, just ask the Lord. Just maybe set us just a couple minutes aside, like even today or sometime this week, and just say, Lord, how can I invite? Like, what do you want me to do? And we believe that God will show us. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And one thing for me might be completely different for you. So that's why I got to ask the Lord. So just ask the Lord, how can I invite? How can I connect with people? Like, that might be the first step. You just might, how do I connect with more people? Who do you want me to connect with that's in my life now? Okay? Praise the Lord. So let's receive the blessing. Now to him was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.